So I wonder what you're expecting this Christmas, what you're looking forward to. I was in a shop down in the Great Southern this last week, and remember the band Queen, Freddie Mercury? And it was that song, I've never heard it before, Thank God It's Christmas. And I looked at the words and I thought, yeah, I don't know really what he was thankful for what he was actually singing about, but Christmas, when it came, would solve everything, according to the song. So, but I wonder what it is that you're expecting and what it is that it means for you today. We've heard a little bit already today from a few people about what they did in their own countries, and it's about people and it's about giving. And it's about life, I guess. And I guess if I was to look at this Christmas story and just read the text of the way that the Gospels record what happens and how it all comes about, it's a fairly low-key event to start with, and it gathers speed. But I guess it starts with the idea of just a surprise for Mary and disappointment for Joseph. It's like life was rolling on. There was a time of uncertainty. We read that, this time of the year at Christmas, just the mention of Christmas triggers a lot of people with depression and anxiety and a whole range of things. And I know in the last couple of weeks I was talking to some folk, and both of them have close friends that have received really bad news coming up to Christmas. And we sort of think, oh, that's not fair, but really it's just life rolling on, isn't it? It's just the life that we live. Sometimes they're full of surprises, sometimes they're full of disappointments. And I think this is what we read about in the account of Christmas to start with. In Matthew 1:18, it says this: "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but they came together. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." So Joseph's beautiful fiancée had become pregnant, and he wasn't responsible. It was like a supernatural thing. But you can imagine his consternation and his confusion about all of this. You can just feel it in his voice as the passage talks about this. It says, it goes on in the very next verse and says, "Because Joseph was a husband, her husband was faithful to the law, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So you can just sort of feel it in his sort of being as he gets this news, as he finds out his soon-to-be wife is actually pregnant. There was a surprise, there was an interruption, there was something that happened in his life that wasn't welcome, and he started to make a plan. His whole life became complicated all of a sudden at Christmas. But it's also about disruptions and interruptions, I think. I was just reminded this week, I went for a ride on my motorbike down through the Great Southern, and I remember it sort of brought back memories to me, because every year at Christmas time, it seemed like the main roads department would rip up Albany Highway, and there'd be long queues, you remember it? And, there'd be dusty roads, and there'd be machinery sitting on the side of the road, and there'd be long, slow drives, and I experienced the same thing this week on Brookton Highway. But interruptions, disruptions, disappointments, surprises. Listen to what Luke chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 said. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman Empire." Not a small amount of area, I need to say. It was quite big. And in fact, we could actually, just talking about this whole thing, decrees, edicts, it's sort of like the government telling us what we have to do. And I wonder how they felt about that. I wonder whether they liked it. I wonder whether they agreed with it. It was an intrusion into their lives. There was a massive movement of people. There was smaller villages that were flooded with people as they came back to their regions to be counted. They knew that the whole reason that the census was occurring was because Caesar wanted to count the people so that he could tax them. And maybe even just number the people so that he would know how big he needed, or how big he could build his armies. But I'm sure people wondered about it. They didn't like it. Maybe they didn't agree with it. Maybe privately they didn't like it. Overcrowding, accommodation shortages, shortages of things in smaller places. It sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Interruptions, disruptions at Christmas. And yet this is the space that Jesus moved into. There was surprise, disappointment, disruptions, interruptions. And then we have a supernatural event with the Christ coming into the world. A divine purpose for all people. Listen to what the angel says in Luke chapter 2 verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy and underscore all people." For all people, for all time, for all situations, for lockdowns, for mask wearing, for royal decrees, for bad news, it'll be good news in those times. And I think it's interesting that, you know, God didn't necessarily cause the census that the Roman Empire had, but he certainly used it, because we read that this was one of the greatest periods of Roman peace in the Roman Empire that occurred. And it was actually given a name, Pax Romana, which basically means a start of peace and tranquility that hadn't existed before. And this was the period in which Jesus came into that situation and which he started to move and live in the world. And Luke chapter 2 says, again, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause for great joy for all people.'" And I want to say to you today, you know, wherever you are and whatever you're feeling and however uncertain you feel, Jesus wants to come supernaturally into that space with his joy, with his peace, and with his hope. Because the last thing that we see in this passage, that I want to talk about at least, is that when people actually saw Jesus amidst the census, amidst the disappointments, amidst the disruptions, their response was one of great joy. But the ones who saw him experienced that. Listen to verse 17 of Luke chapter 2, verse 17 to 19. The shepherds left, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about him. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then there's a little phrase at the bottom, "but Mary treasured these things in her heart." And that's a recurring phrase through the Gospel of Luke, that something significant has happened and she's savouring it, she's reflecting on it. But what was it that the shepherds were told concerning this child? You see, this just wasn't a group of dirty shepherds and shearers and wise men coming to wish good tidings to a young couple. Something more significant had happened. And the passage in Luke chapter 2 verse 10 says it, "But the angel says, 'Don't be afraid, I bring you good news, great joy for all people. Today, in the town of Bethlehem, the Saviour has been born to you.'" Not just another baby, not just a young couple that couldn't afford a better room because the town was overcrowded, but a Saviour. And he is the Messiah, the promised one, the one that Israel was waiting for. And, you know, the thing about this whole passage is, today we had some folk and we interviewed some different ones about Christmas and what they do in their country. Because Jesus' birth all those years ago in a stable was for them, for their people. It was for us. It's for all people at all times. But the people that get the most joy from it are the ones that get to see Jesus. And so my encouragement this Christmas for you would be, we can do tinsel and chocolate and all range of things, but look at Jesus, the one who came as a Saviour, the promised Messiah for you. You know, God created all people, he loves all people, and because of that, he sent his Saviour into the world. And those that get to see him and invite him into their lives are transformed forever. Their days will be days of joy and peace amidst hardship, disruptions, and difficult circumstances. I'll finish with just a story. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe I've shared it with you. But in December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. "We've actually flown 130 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message, and he glanced at it and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news. Christmas is about many things that we've made it to be about, but primarily it's about Jesus coming into our broken world, amidst confusion and disruption, amidst unpleasant circumstances, amidst challenging life circumstances. Jesus is there, and the ones that see him, engage with him, find joy and purpose and meaning in their lives. We're going to sing in a minute, aren't we? Can I get everyone just to stand up? I want to pray a blessing over you as we wrap up the service. And can I just encourage you also about the offerings that we do have? We've got a black box down the back. The ushers will be there to give you information on what to do. So, and then we've got some bags as well for our regular offering for those that attend here regularly. But Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus. And our prayer today is that we don't miss the joy that you want to give us as we relate to you and as we meet with you. We thank you that you come into our brokenness, that you come into the lives of people internationally, globally. You want to change people's lives, that you love all people, that you died for all people, and that you want to impact the lives of all people. We thank you, Father, for this time today. We pray for those that are separated, that are feeling sense of dislocation. Maybe you've had bad news this year. This week, you can't spend Christmas with your family like you want to. All of these things, Lord, we ask for your peace and for your grace this Christmas. Thank you that you died for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.